Today, with churches around the world, we honor in the breaking of the bread and the drinking of the cup the central elements of our identity and purpose in Christ. The day compels us to remember the body of Christ, worshiping in every corner of the whole inhabited world, from our doorsteps to the ends of the earth. Many churches today will hear the Lord's Prayer in multiple languages, share communion from breads that reflect the tremendous scope of harvest and humanity, such as challah or tortillas. They will sing songs with words and tunes that do not reflect a dominant Western Christian bias, and that is all very good. Such an occasion is important because we live in violently divisive times, isolating times. The noise of the world inures us to the ways that deep calls unto deep in the mystery of Holy Communion. In times like these, our spiritual selves may be prone to pull in and hunker down and simultaneously to lash out. We are susceptible to captivating commitments that do not grow our wisdom for love of God and neighbor. World Communion Sunday helps us to respond to a challenge core to the practices of our faith in Christ. How can we be less captive to the commitments of empire? And how do we become close to the captivating commitments of the kingdom of God? In today's gospel passage, Jesus is in the temple debating biblical experts and religious leaders about the word of God, the prophecies of the righteous, and other moral quandaries of the day. Elsewhere in this very chapter of chapter 12 in the book of Mark, Jesus and his interlocutors discuss relevant and esoteric subjects. Was it right to pay taxes to Caesar? Who would be married to whom in the resurrection? Who was King David's spiritual heir? Now, the Pharisees and the Sadducees get a bad reputation because they try to trip up Jesus on vexing questions. Later generations of Christians cast a negative light on these critical, culturally appropriate conversations. But in truth, a sharp-elbowed debate was culturally appropriate in Judaism and in the Greco-Roman philosophical context. The religious leaders with Jesus were deep in conversation about the captivating commitments of their own day. The temple was and remains a place for rigorous conversation, to demonstrate the love of Word of God and to discern how best to live in the world God created and called good. I especially appreciate this dialogue between Jesus and the scribe. The scribe asks Jesus, which commandment is the greatest of all? Now I'm going to cut to the chase. This is a setup. Any Jew knows that the answer is the Shema, a traditional pledge of allegiance to the one true God, with a declaration to love God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength. Jesus adds a command for good measure, to love your neighbor as yourself. The scribe concedes, "You are right, teacher. You have spoken truly." And Jesus concedes, "The scribe has spoken wisely. You are not far from the kingdom of God," Jesus says. In Mark's gospel, the kingdom of God refers to the reign of righteousness and the love of Jesus, which brings about In Mark's gospel, the kingdom of God refers to the reign of righteousness and the love Jesus brings about amidst the principality of imperial domination. How subjects are captive to their own imperial commitments. The scribe reveals his understanding of love as the proper ordering principle at the center of our relationship to God and to neighbor. He participates in reordering the commitments of God's people away from empire and toward a world made new according to love, mercy, compassion, and peace. We can highlight a few takeaways from today's scripture for World Communion Sunday. This morning's scripture demonstrates that followers of Christ are called to a rigorous engagement with our faith, with scripture, and with our religious traditions and secular conventions. Jesus and the other rabbis and scholars and all of the temple faithful are fastidiously interrogating the Word of God. Whether they seek to prove a point, as the Pharisees seem to be doing, or if they are discerning kernels of wisdom to apply to their life, as Jesus credits the scribe with doing, they are feasting on the Word, as we are called to do, in deep dialogue, in discernment, with ideas and interpretations that will challenge and grow and extend our faith in the one true and living God. World Communion Sunday reminds us that church life is not merely meant to be a nice place where nice people do nice things with other nice people. Rather, we are called to challenge and to be challenged in dialogue and in discovery. In this way, we participate in and partake from and fully embody the Eucharist, which in Greek means the good gift. What separates God's church on earth from a mutual aid network is that the Word of God is shared, the good news of Christ is proclaimed, and our hearts are tuned and trained for the kingdom of God. We do this as the text invites us, centering our souls in the love of God with all of our hearts, all of our souls, all of our minds, and all of our strength. We do this further as the text invites us to love our neighbor as ourself, from our doorstep to the ends of the earth. And this leads to a second takeaway. Today's scripture puts a fine point on it. We are called to the captivating commitment of love. I worry if the injunction to love loses its edge, as though once you get to love, you have arrived. Love in the marriage as the end of the story. A parent meeting their child for the first time as the fulfillment, the end of a journey. Love as a chosen passion, as the final piece to become an expert. We lose the impact of this commandment if we think of love as the arrival point at the end of our journey. The gospel compels us to live love differently, as the fragile and vulnerable beginning, a step in a journey that brings us into a radical encounter with others, and with the brokenness of our own lives, in an open-mouthed intake of what will heal us. World Communion Sunday reminds us that here at First Christian Church of Lawrenceville on Sugarloaf Parkway in Georgia, as with congregations in Olomouc, Czech Republic, and in Windhoek, Namibia, and in Jakarta, Indonesia, as to the whole inhabited earth, you are called out. You have been called forward. The Greek word for church is ekklesia, which translates originally from Greek ek kaleo, to be called out. We are called to go out from where we are, what we know and where we are known, and apprehend what is new and novel and different. The point is not to proclaim a truth for our own, to adopt and to colonize others to our own way of seeing the world. No, but to come close to the kingdom of God, as the scribe did. It will challenge us. It will change us. To experience what is other at the beginning of a relationship that grows into neighborliness and kinship in Christ, enriched through discourse and fellowship and hungering and thirsting for righteousness. Which leads us to a final observation of the gospel on this morning's World Communion Sunday. Made known in the breaking of the bread and of the drinking of the cup, and remembered until the Lord comes again. And this is gospel good news. God is captivated by God's commitment to us, to our flourishing, to the beauty of all creation, revealed over and over again through time and space, inviting us, compelling us, nourishing our bodies and our minds and our hearts and our souls. We come close to those commitments of the kingdom of God by discerning and discovering our unity in the transformative power of this fellowship meal. And that is enough. It is the starting point for our journey of faith. Thanks be to God for this indescribable gift. Amen.